Welcome to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the show that brings you 26 different stories around Southwest Michigan in 26 weeks, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Want to know more about the work of the United Way? Visit uwsm.org.
Welcome back to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6. I'm your host, Anna Murphy, president of United Way of Southwest Michigan. This is the second season of 26 at 6, the show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. That's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. here on 94.9 WSJM. I'm Anna Murphy, and again, we are excited to be back for our second season. I'm the president and CEO of United Way. Been here for 22 years in August, and still love every single day the work that we get to do. And this show really helps us tell the story and be able to get that out on a regular basis. United Way of Southwest Michigan fights for the health, education, financial stability of every person in every community. We have the influence and relationships to make sustainable change a reality, and by harnessing resources from corporate, nonprofit, and public partners, we provide immediate assistance to our most vulnerable populations while addressing the root causes of our community's long-standing challenges and changing lives for the better. And why 26 at 6? United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 is a show that focuses on 26 stories over 26 weeks. We talk a lot about data, branding, collaborations, which is really important. But what this show will do is allow people to share their stories of how United Way has impacted their lives. We helped to serve over 64,000 people in 2018, and every one of those people have their own story to tell. This show will give us the platform to share a small sliver of what's happening around the community. And I am really excited to kick off the new season with a very special theme, Turning Outward. And we'd like to begin the discussion with someone at United Way that cares very much about this notion, Rachel Wade, Vice President of Strategy at United Way of Southwest Michigan. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Anna.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited for the new season of 26 at 6.
And as I am, obviously, because I said that earlier. So we want to talk a little bit about, first I want you to talk about your role. We just said your title, but what does that role mean?
Yeah, so my role as Vice President of Strategy is to really make sure that the way that we are mobilizing resources in the community is matching the way that we need to be investing resources in the community. So making sure that we are gathering not only financial resources, but time, people, talent, volunteers, subject matter experts, and then packaging that in a way that's then creating the kind of change that we want to have in the community, whether that's investing in programs or creating volunteer efforts or just bringing folks together to talk about issues that are important to all of us.
So with that role, really lends itself well to this work and this notion of turning outward. And you and I have been talking about this for a long time. And we've got a special guest on today that we have followed for a long time as well. And we're excited to be able to have Rich Harwood here in a later segment. But I want to ask you, Rachel, what does turn outward mean to you?
It means that we have to make sure that the work that we're doing in the community is rooted in the community's aspirations for themselves. So you mentioned earlier that United Way of Southwest Michigan talks a lot about data, and we do. I'm a data geek. I love data. I love analyzing. I love trying to figure out the story that the data is telling me. But looking at numbers, no matter how you cut them, only tells you a part of the story. And you really have to understand the reality that people are living with in the community every single day and understand what that reality means to them and how they wish that reality was a little bit different. So turning outward means getting out of just our data set, getting out of our conference room, getting out of our set of best practices that we tend to always fall back on and say, what kind of people, what kind of community do people want to live in? And how do we make our work reflect that reality and help create that new aspirational reality?
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and I am speaking with Rachel Wade of United Way of Southwest Michigan on the topic of turning outward. So, Rachel, why is this so important to United Way? I mean, there are a lot of people that know United Way. They know United Way kind of maybe in a traditional way, and we're hoping that they learn a little bit more about us in some new ways. But why is this so important for United Way to be a part of?
It's really important for us because ultimately it's why we exist as an organization. We don't exist just to raise money, and we don't exist just to say that Southwest Michigan has a United Way. We exist to change people's lives and improve our community. And if we really want to do that in a lasting and authentic way, we have to turn outward and we have to focus on the aspirations that people in the community have for themselves and for their neighbors and for the greater community. And really, that's why we exist as an organization.
So in this work, we're partnering with a pioneer in turning outward, Rich Harwood. And he's going to be talking with us in a moment. But what has the connection been with United Way and Harwood in the past?
Well, the connection between the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation and United Ways, we first became aware of through United Way Worldwide and a relationship between kind of the common interest of wanting to transform communities, and the Harwood model of how to do that is a perfect opportunity for United Ways across the country to use that model to drive our work. It's a really, really good partnership between how the two organizations look at how we approach our work.
So we've been talking about this internally, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this in another segment on what we can do as a community moving forward. But what might be some of the things that we can do as a staff internally?
Yeah, as a staff internally, what we've been focusing on for the last several weeks is does our organizational culture, are we prepared to turn outward? Are we prepared to hear the realities of people in our community that we might not want to hear? Turning outward means you're inherently opening yourself up to hear some realities that are uncomfortable, that are scary, that challenge the assumptions that we have about our community and challenge the assumptions of how we've always thought we need to work in community. And just really opening ourselves up to being vulnerable enough to hear what people's reality is. And that's going to hurt. I mean, it's going to hurt to really hear what some people experience on a day-to-day basis. And we've really been working with our staff to make sure that we're ready for that and that we're ready to act on what we hear.
So you use the word prepared. Help me understand what that means.
I don't have a clear answer for that yet. Really, it's when we get the information, when we hear the reality of folks who maybe have a different socioeconomic background or a different ethnic background or a different sexual orientation or whatever that may be, that the reality of how they experience life every day is very different from a lot of us, and being open to that and what role we may all have unintentionally been playing in that, and understanding some of these concepts of privilege or prejudice that none of us want to acknowledge exist in our community or acknowledge that we may unintentionally be playing a role in that.
So you said something about being prepared, and our staff needs to be prepared. Our board needs to be prepared. What might that look like?
Yeah, I don't have a clear definitive answer for that yet, because we haven't gotten the public knowledge from the community yet. We haven't heard what their reality has been. So the conversations we've been having as staff have just been around opening ourselves up to hearing some things that might be scary. They may be things that we want to argue against. They may be things that shake us to our very core and make us uncomfortable to acknowledge and to hear that those things are actually people's reality in our community. And just acknowledging that we're going to have to wrestle with topics like privilege and prejudice and what does that mean and what does that look like for people, and what roles have we maybe unintentionally played in perpetuating some of those notions? So just really being okay with being vulnerable to all of that.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about all of this. We're inviting Rich Harwood to actually have a conversation with us in a moment. But I want to thank Rachel for joining us this evening. And when we return, like I said, we will be talking to the expert himself, Rich Harwood of the Harwood Institute. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined today by Rich Harwood of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation, who's here to talk about finding dignity, hope, and community in America today. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Good to be with you, Anna.
I'm so glad, because you and I have known each other for a while, and we've been talking about how do we get Rich Harwood to Southwest Michigan, and we finally did. Yay!
Yeah, excited to be here.
So I want you to take a moment, and I like the audience always to know who we're talking to, but I know you have a good backstory. Kind of tell us what your backstory is and what led you to starting Harwood Institute and maybe some of the work that you've been doing.
Again, great to be here. I started the Institute when I was 27, which was we're celebrating our 30th anniversary this year, which is pretty incredible to think about. But I started it for a few different reasons. You know, I'd worked on 20 political campaigns by the time I was 23. I felt as though those campaigns were worthy, but they were more concerned about winning at any cost. This was 30 years ago, so things have only gotten worse. I had worked for a couple of nonprofits, which I am still in touch with and really admired, but I felt that too many nonprofits at the time, at least ones I had encountered, were afraid to get dirt under their fingernails and take on the really hard challenges that our society faced. My faith calls me to repair breaches in society, and so I was moved by that. And then lastly, I grew up as a very sick kid. I spent a lot of my youth in hospitals, and in all of those things, what I came to believe was that we needed a different path, a more hopeful path for our society to take, where everyone would be afforded a sense of dignity, where hope could be made real for not just some people, but for all people, and where, based on my own experience, what I learned is that community only really works as a common enterprise, that we need each other, that none of us can go it alone. And so I started this when I was 27. It's been 30 years. Our work now has spread to all 50 states. It's been pulled into about 40 countries. It's rooted in a philosophy that we call civic faith, and in this practice called turning outward. And the great thing about it is that it's continued to grow, not necessarily because of anything I've done or other people have done, but because it's speaking to something that folks are yearning for. Folks are yearning to create communities that reflect the best in us and the best of us. They want a greater sense of control over shaping their own destinies, their own futures. And I really have come to believe, not because I read it in a book or because someone told me, but because I've seen it, that people want to play a role in each other's lives in making a difference.
So you started this work 30 years ago. What have you seen as being maybe couple of the biggest changes in the work that you started to the work that you're doing today, or has it actually really changed, and is it how we just approach the work?
Well, our work, the Institute's work, has definitely changed. You know, when I started this, I just had 8 questions that I put up on a whiteboard. Until recently, we had that whiteboard still in our office, believe it or not. And the questions were around questions like, what gives people a sense of hope? What does it mean to authentically engage people? What are the kinds of leaders that have credibility and trust? What are the types of organizations that can bring people together across dividing lines? How does change really occur in communities as opposed to how we think it might occur? What does it mean for change to spread? So these and other questions. You know, it's interesting, out of those questions haven't fundamentally changed. What has changed in the last 30 years is the context within which we're working. So the country continues to change. And so the answers to those questions keep evolving. And we've added some new questions. So we've added questions around, because these questions have arisen in our work, what does it mean for people to believe that we can get things done together? Another question has become, what does it mean for communities to take shared responsibility in the work that they need to do together? And there are others. So so one is the meaning of the questions has shifted as society has shifted, and there have been some new questions added to our work as we've gone along.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I am here with Rich Harwood of the Harwood Institute. So, yes, so things have changed. You said a couple things that I want to kind of drill down on. One, obviously, what does it mean to turn outward? We heard from Rachel in the earlier segment. You're the kind of the grand poobah of turn outward. So what does that mean? I hear giggles.
Poobah. I've been called a lot of things in my life. Poobah is not one of them.
There you go.
That's nice. It's the grand poobah. Turning outward, to me, you know, in some cases I'll echo some things that Rachel said, which is that, you know, it means that, so first of all, turning outward is an orientation, it's a posture, it's a mindset, it's, you know, there are lots of practices and skills that the Institute teaches people, but at the core of it, I believe, is that we need to shift our mindset. So many of us have become inward looking, and, you know, we've done tons of research on this, we've see it in our on-the-ground work when we're working with organizations. Our reference point has become ourselves. We, about our own strategies, our own programs, our need to raise money. You know, for a lot of organizations, I've come to believe and see that they're more concerned about their own survival than the civic health of the community. They're more concerned about their own good than our common good. They're more concerned about getting credit than producing things of benefit to other people in the community. All of these things cause us and are manifestations of us turning inward. And here's the thing, Anna, if you're turned inward, my question is, how in God's name would you know what matters to people? How would you know what the underlying conditions are in a community that you're working within? Because not all every community is different, and so the strategies we have to take are going to be different. How is it that we understand what resources and capacities and talents a community has if we're not turned outward toward a community? And as, if not more importantly, if you really believe that every individual should be afforded dignity, that we should see and hear everyone, that hope really does matter to everyone, that community really does need to be a common enterprise, there is no way to get to those points if you're turned inward toward yourself or your own organization. And so my thing is, look, if we want to create communities that reflect the best in us and the best of us, that are rooted, as Rachel said, in our shared aspirations, then we have no choice but to be turned outward, because otherwise we can't get to where we want to go.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great, I love that. And it's going to segue us into our next segment in a second. But I want to ask for a definition of something that you've said, and you've said it a couple times on common enterprise. What does that mean?
I think fundamentally what it means is that no one of us can go it alone on our own to create the kinds of lives and to create the kinds of communities that we want. You know, if we're trying to make sure that every child gets off to a good start, which is something the United Way is really interested in, if we're really interested, it's this United Way is in concerns about obesity, but really about how people live healthier lives. If we're really concerned about things like an opioid crisis, if we're concerned about how everyone has a fair shot at post-secondary education, which this United Way is concerned about, no one organization, no single leader, no one person or family can achieve those things on their own. We need to do it together. We need to think of ourselves engaged in a common enterprise to create the types of things that we want, that we yearn for, and that we need.
And so it also goes back to that we need to have a shared responsibility, that and the whole thing about changing the reference point from ourselves to others and looking and turning outward, obviously. So, wow, we're going to continue this conversation. But I want to thank you at this point for joining us this evening. And we have more to come. We're going to talk about some examples of how communities turned outward to create meaningful and lasting change. So don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm back again with Rich Harwood of Harwood Institute as we continue our conversation on turning outward to create meaningful and lasting change in our communities. You have done a lot of work, obviously. It's been 30 years of work. I know a couple of the communities that you've been in. I know Battle Creek was one of your first ones that you really spent, well, not maybe your first ones, but one that you spent quite a bit of time in. I'd like you to talk a little bit about some examples of communities that you've been involved in or Harwood's been involved in, and that you were able to successfully turn outward and create change, but also talk a little bit about some of the dynamics in these communities that they were like before and after.
So let me start with Mobile, Alabama, because it's an interesting story. Before we started working there, they hadn't passed the school levy in 40 years. The community was at odds with each other in terms of race, in terms of gaps in income, in terms of rural versus urban versus suburban communities. And so not only had they not passed a school levy, but there was widespread disagreement about what needed to be done. And I think all historians would say that there was a healthy dose of racism in the community itself and inequities. And so we came into the picture amid this kind of impasse, and where there had been some heroic people doing incredible things but not making much progress. And so as they turned outward, they began to engage the community in a conversation about what kind of community did they want, where did education fit into that. And lo and behold, what people began to realize was that rural folks and African-American folks and white folks and city folks actually shared many of the same aspirations that they wanted around the community itself and around education. And so the community ultimately formed a community agreement. Now, that took a while, and it didn't happen easily, but the community created a community agreement, and out of that became some initial steps. What they realized, for instance, was teachers were choosing the best schools in the best areas in the county. And so they began to change the incentive structure so that teachers would go to lower performing schools and schools out in rural areas, and it worked. They began to see that their high schools weren't getting the resources they need, and so they started to invest in those schools. Fast forward over time, they began to see that young girls weren't studying math and science. So they began to institute STEM programs in their schools. So a whole series of things began to occur. This took about 10 years to occur, but it began to occur. And there are two stories that are worth telling here. They had some of the lowest performing schools before we started to work. Now they have some of the highest performing schools in the state. They've begun to close what some people might call the achievement gap, what I would call the opportunity gap between kids and among kids in the community. They have a better distribution of teachers. They have passed. They just passed their second or third levy since we worked with them. The last one was a 10-year increase to better support schools. So all of those things are quantifiable changes in education and in opportunities for the kids and in the health of the community. The second story, though, that emerged out of Mobile is equally important, which is if you talk to folks in Mobile, they will say there's greater trust in the community. There's a greater sense of social cohesion in the community, that the community has a sense of common purpose, that there's an emerging narrative of hope in the community as opposed to despair, that there are new ways of working together in the community, that there are more leaders who are leading the way in the community, that the school board now is seen in a more productive light as opposed to the negative light it was seen before. And so the underlying conditions, or what I would call the civic culture of the community, has begun to shift as well in pretty dramatic ways. And so to me, this is, given where we are as a country, given the division and polarization, the problems with race that we have, the problems of inequities that we see systemically in our country, and of all places, Mobile, Alabama, the place that people might say would be the last place you might look, I'm really proud to say, I would say it should be one of the first places we look to see how people have come together and actually began to create change in a way that they feel a greater sense of control over their lives, and they feel as though they're shaping their futures.
We're going to talk some more about some of your examples, but if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6, and I'm here with Rich Harwood of the Harwood Institute. So that's a huge example, and that are you still working with them in Mobile?
Well, this is actually the thing I like about our work so much, which is that the communities that we work with, they're not our communities. And so we never put people on the ground. We never hire local staff that work for us. What we're doing is we're developing the capacities and the capabilities of people and organizations and networks within communities because it's their communities. The great thing about the story of Mobile, we're just documenting that this now as part of a 30-year impact study we're doing, is they've continued to create amazing and really promising change in the community. We helped catalyze it. We helped to develop some folks who can move it along. But the great thing is they've been doing these last pieces on their own without us. And to me, that's the best story we can possibly tell.
So talk a little bit about maybe a couple other ones that you've worked with that maybe had a different beginning, maybe even a different ending.
Well, you know, we worked with a neighbor of yours, Flint, for a number of years. This was at the height of the job losses, tens of thousands of job losses in a very short period of time, the closing of union halls, the challenges with their public schools. And so it was an enormously challenging time to work there. This was really early in the formation of some of the work we use now. So we were still learning a lot at the time, too. And what I can say about our efforts in Flint, two things. One is, I think there was a lot of great work done by the Flint Public Library and the Flint Cultural Corporation, Salem Housing, the Focus Council, which is downtown redevelopment, that have all yielded and produced great things. But we all know, and folks who live in Michigan know better than I do, that Flint continues to suffer challenges, including but beyond the recent water crisis. And so so I think our work there helped the community to move forward, but I think it continues to be a great challenge. If I could, there's something I take away from my experience in Flint that I share with as many people as I possibly can, which is about human resilience and about hope. If there's any community I learned about hope from, it was the folks I worked with in Flint. It was people who showed up every day in the face of huge challenges. It was people who kept persevering when they got knocked down. It was people who reached across dividing lines on race and income and geography, who were told that they share nothing in common and should be fighting with one another, who persevered and kept moving. It's people who brought people together and created real change in different parts of Flint, some using our work, many more not using our work, which is even better. And so when people ask me what work was the hardest and what work am I most attached to, I often say there's one word, and it's the work in Flint.
We're going to continue this conversation, but I want to thank you at this point, Rich Harwood from the Harwood Institute. We do have to go to a break. We're going to return and continue our conversation on turning outward to create change in our community. So stay with us.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
So welcome back to 26 at 6. We are in the studio with Rich Harwood. He's been talking about the awesome work that he has been doing, the communities that he has been in, and what they're doing. I want to make mention that this is a stop. Southwest Michigan is a stop on a tour that he's doing. And so I want him to talk just a little bit about that before we go back to having a conversation with Rachel Wade.
Right, Anna. So this is one of actually my first stops on a two-year speaking tour, which coincides with a new book I have coming out called Stepping Forward, which is about the fact that simply that we don't have to accept the way things are in the country, that each and all of us can step forward and create a more hopeful path for our communities and our own lives. And I came here in large part because of you, because I admire this United Way. I believe that this United Way plays a really important part in Berrien and Cass counties and shortly Van Buren, and that we need local United Ways that can bring people together across dividing lines, across geography, across race and ethnicity, across income levels, so that we can create stronger, more vibrant communities for everyone. And so Southwest Michigan is a place that's important and that I wanted to come and be a part of.
Well, I know that Rachel and I, like we said, we've been talking about this for a while. We are both honored to have had you here. And I think that this is probably just maybe the beginning of our relationship that... I'm looking forward to an opportunity to have you back at some point after you kind of see what we've been doing, and but we'll stay in touch. So, but before we go, I want to have another little conversation with Rachel Wade in talking about what United Way, from the local perspective, what are we going to do with all of this learning, all of this information?
Yeah, so United Way of Southwest Michigan has been partnering with some various collective impact efforts that we are deeply engaged with. The Great Start Collaboratives, the Berrien College Access Network, Be Healthy Berrien. United Way sits at the steering committees of all of those efforts. And what we realized recently was that every single one of those groups is talking about the need for community voice and the need to make sure that their work is rooted in the aspirations of the communities that they're trying to serve. And United Way shares that need as well, as we're starting to work on building our next 3-year funding agenda to make sure that our work is meaningful and relevant and impactful. We need that public knowledge piece as well. So we decided that all those groups need to get together and take this journey together. We're so much stronger if we're all working on this path forward in connection with each other, if we're all helping to gather this public knowledge, to gather this community voice, to understand our shared aspirations, and then package that information in a way that we reflect it back to the community, and then help each other all identify how we're going to take action against that. So, for example, for United Way, it's pretty tangible. We need to create an agenda for our next funding cycle. This information is going to be hugely important in helping share that agenda. As the Berrien College Access Network is working on how they can increase post-secondary attainment for students and for adults in our community, they need to understand what's holding folks back from achieving that already. This information is going to be vitally important in helping shape their work moving forward. And one thing that's really important about this whole notion of turning outward is that it's not about United Way. I'm not going to be going out into the community and say, Anna Murphy, tell me what you think United Way should be doing. The question is, Anna Murphy, what kind of community do you want to live in? And how is that different from the reality of what your community is now? And that information will help inform our work moving forward and the work of those collective impact efforts and the work of the 60 plus people who were with us last week to hear Rich's message firsthand about what it means to try and create dignity and hope and a sense of community in Southwest Michigan.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way's 26 at 6. And right now I'm talking with Rachel Wade of United Way of Southwest Michigan. And we're talking about how we're going to utilize the new learnings and the work of Rich Harwood and the Harwood Institute around turning outward. What are some of the next steps? Are there some specific things that we need to be looking for?
Yeah, so United Way and our partners are going to be trying to seek that public knowledge, that community voice. So we're going to be working with various organizations to hold community conversations, to bring small groups of people together to have these really deep conversations about their aspirations. We're going to be using a few different other techniques to gather this input over the next 6 months. We have a goal of gathering input from over 300 people across Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren over the next 6 months. And so the next steps for us are identifying those partners who can help us get to those people that we don't often talk to. I love United Way's funded partners, but I don't need to talk to the executive directors of our funded partners because I talk to them all the time. I need to talk to the people that United Way doesn't ever usually have the opportunity to talk to. So how are we talking to groups of people in the community and having these kinds of conversations? So really practically for us, the next steps, start to gather that information. We have a wonderful relationship with Dr. Kurt Vanderwall at Andrews University, who's going to help us and make sense of that information, help us process it, help us put it together, identify the themes, help us digest and understand what it means so that it's usable not only, as I said earlier, for us creating our funding agenda, but because this is the public knowledge, it's our obligation and our responsibility to share that information as widely and broadly as we can into the community to make sure that any organization who is ready and willing to act on this information has easy access to it.
So I'm going to ask you a question. I hope it doesn't throw you off too much. You use the words community conversation, and we hear that in the community a lot. They say, I'm going to have a community conversation, and it ends up being more of a focus group. Talk about what a community conversation means to this work.
So the important distinction about a community conversation versus a focus group is when you have a focus group, you go in and say, I want to talk to you about education, and I want to talk to you about what you think should be different in education or what you think our organization should be doing differently about education. A community conversation is about the community, and it's not about a particular issue. It's about what the community wants for themselves, what they aspire to be for themselves. And then you start to dig deeper into exactly what that means. But in this model, a community conversation has no agenda, no kind of already set expectation of how this is going to go. It's truly going in and saying, tell me what you want. Tell me what you desire, what you aspire for your family, for your neighborhood, for your community. That's the big difference. And so, yeah, will we hear things that maybe United Way can't act on? Yeah, probably. But then it's our responsibility to find the folks in the community that could act on that and share that knowledge and that information with them. So I think it's going to be really exciting because folks aren't often asked that kind of really deep personal question about what they want for their community. So I'm really excited to hear what they say.
Well, I just want to say to you, Rachel, that I really appreciate your passion around this work. I truly believe that we will see some results out of this moving forward. I want to take another moment to thank Rich Harwood from Harwood Institute for being here in Southwest Michigan. Any final thought?
Looking forward to seeing all the great progress you guys create together.
Because there will be great progress. I also want to plug his new book coming out in the fall called Stepping Forward, A Positive Practical Path to Transform Our Communities and Our Lives. And just so you know, we bought 50 of them and we'll get them signed for my staff and the board. But we're really excited about this book. But I want to thank Rich for being here, Rachel for lending your talents and being here. I want you to know that United Way of Southwest Michigan, you can visit UWSM if you want, UWSM.org if you want to know more. United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in Southwest Michigan. I'm Anna Murphy. Thanks for joining the fight.
And thank you for listening. Join us Tuesday night for the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.